Issues, Etc., regular guest Pastor Stephen Parks on why your congregation should join the Issues, Etc. 300.
If I could, I'd just like to challenge any Lutheran pastors that are listening to consider becoming one of the congregations that supports Issues, Etc. My own congregation is a very small church, and I know it can be difficult to try and budget $1,000 a year to become one of the Issues, Etc. 300. But if you're being blessed by this, as I know you are, and if your congregation is being blessed by this, as I know that it is, I submit to bring it to the congregation to prayerfully consider supporting the outreach of Issues, Etc., not only here in the United States, but also around the world. Thank you so much for what you do.
Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget. Simply go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues, Etc. The Issues, Etc. 300. A promising title, God in America, and God certainly has had a place historically in the mind of Americans and in the ethos of America, but what place does he hold today? Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc. on this Friday afternoon, October the 8th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll start out this hour talking to Dr. Larry Rast about the PBS special coming Monday called God in America. Then we'll play Issues, Etc., soundbite of the week. Our guest to talk about God in America, Dr. Larry Rast, professor of historical theology and academic dean at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, author of the cover story in the latest edition of the Lutheran Witness magazine titled What Makes America American. Larry, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Todd. Great to be with you.
As an historian, how do you explain the fact that America even still is one of the most religiously active countries in the Western Hemisphere?
Yeah, that's a very good question, because in a lot of ways the United States runs counter to the kind of going character of Western states that, you know, still even today the visitors from Europe, visitors from other countries, as they come into the United States, are amazed at just how many churches there are and how many people are in the churches as well. So it does beg for an answer, and it's a very good question to pose. I think there are several elements that go into that. One is the historical character of Christianity in the United States that captured very well the freedoms offered politically here on the American scene, and coupled that with a theology that emphasized individual responsibility and opportunity. So whereas in Europe, it was kind of a formal matter of becoming a member of the church, you know, by virtue of your citizenship, you were simply engrafted into the church, as it were, and the distinction between being a political subject and a religious subject was minimal at best. I mean, it just went together. Here in the United States, you had to put together a kind of a notion of a voluntary subscription to a particular ideology. And for whatever reason, that oftentimes expressed itself early on in the nation's history in a religious way. Now, in addition to that, that coupling together of voluntary exercise of the will to become a part of a community, the other thing that America offered was the freedom to create as many of those different kinds of enterprises as you could. So, for example, if in, Western Europe in the latter part of the 17th and 18th centuries, you had the operative principle of quius regio eius religio, that is, whatever the religion of the ruler was in a particular region, that was the religion then of all his subjects, for the most part. Here in America, there was no establishment of a particular religious perspective, and so if you liked the church down the block, you like the preacher, you could voluntarily affiliate yourself with that enterprise. If you didn't, you could find another church. And if you didn't like any of them at all, you could start your own church. And so the plethora of religious denominations that came to characterize the American scene that were a concrete expression of religious freedom really gave America its unique character in this regard, and it's proven to be a pretty substantial one in terms of the ongoing liveliness of the religious experiment here in America.
Does that mean that America is a Christian nation?
Not necessarily. And this is one of the great, you know, arguing points. I kind of like the question being posed because it keeps me employed. It's just one of those things that I think we'll continue to argue about here in the United States. For some folks, it just seems so obvious. Well, of course, we're a Christian nation. There are so many Christians here in the nation that it has to be. But as I posed the question in the article itself, just what does it mean to be a Christian nation? You know, how do you go about making that definition? Is it one's confessional stance in respect to, say, the fundamental doctrines of Christianity? Is it dependent upon a certain amount of the populace formally being church members, actually voluntarily associating themselves with recognized Christian churches? Is it that in the constituting documents of the nation itself, there are express Christian principles that are incorporated very intentionally? What is it that one would say makes a nation a Christian nation? And that, I think, we've never defined in terms of the United States. And so I'm loath to call the United States a Christian nation, specifically speaking, while at the same time recognizing that the United States is one of the most Christian nations in the world today, if you get my distinction there.
What did you make of the PBS special, God in America?
I enjoyed it. Now, I only saw the first 4 hours. That's all they had available at the time I was doing the review. But I was actually pretty pleased with it in terms of the stories that it told and the manner in which it told them. It was, I thought, pretty even-handed and represented these uniquely American stories in very vibrant ways. And so I enjoyed watching what I was able to view. But at the same time, I also raised a few questions about it. First off, whether the title of the series was actually accurate. God in America has a nice ring to it, and it captures people. It's one, you know, that question we were just dealing with before, is America a Christian nation? This kind of fits right into that general kind of arena of questioning. It is something that people continue to be interested in, as evidenced by a few years ago the big controversy about whether we should have In God We Trust on our money and all that kind of thing. But it, as I point out in my little piece, is that may not be the best title for this thing. In fact, I suggested that it would be better titled Religious Freedom in America. But, you know, I can understand why they wouldn't do that. That might not grab the casual observer and get them to turn on the TV at the appropriate time. But really, that's, it seems to me, what was consistently the theme, at least in the first 4 hours of this program. It wasn't about God as such. It was not a theological consideration of expressions about God here in America, but rather it was the manner in which Americans have use the freedoms offered here in the American setting to develop religious communities that do have particular views about God, but that point about God just didn't seem to be in the forefront of the series.
Christians in America today, rather unconsciously, I think, have been tapping into a rather old idea. I think it was 1845. There was a journalist, John O'Sullivan, who coined this now famous phrase, manifest destiny. It was in the context of actually annexing what is now the state of Texas. But basically, you know, we have a right, a divine right, to this continent, and don't get in our way. And that's how we conducted much of our period of history then. But Christians have tapped into this, believing in kind of an American exceptionalism. What is this mindset? Is it biblical?
That's a really good question, Todd. And it's one of those elements that is so woven into the fabric of Americans, that it's difficult for us, even as Christians, to begin to separate ourselves from that that idea of our exceptional character. I mean, just listen to Glenn Beck for about 5 minutes on any given day, and you're going to hear somebody give a sustained apology for American exceptionalism. Hold it up as really what God is about and what God is doing in the world today. That has deep, deep roots here in what were the American colonies and later on became the United States. And I think that is one of the effective things of the God in America series that will be shown here shortly, where you have Puritans, for example, just to use one example. There are others, but probably the most sustained are those of the New England Puritans, who see themselves, in themselves and in their activities, a kind of special calling, a special vocation that God has given to them to complete the Reformation, in some ways perhaps even to carry out the Reformation as God truly intended it to be carried out. So there's a sense of America, certainly with the Puritans themselves, but America itself as being a new Israel, and the crossing of the ocean by the Puritans, leaving the older areas that had in which there had been the worship of idols and all kinds of theological and practical confusion, crossing over the Jordan, as it were, the ocean, into a new land, a new Canaan that God had set aside for them, saying to them, now, if you're faithful to me, if you will be my people, I will be your God, but you better be my people. And that means keeping the covenant that I've laid before you. And as long as you keep that covenant, you will be a uniquely blessed and exceptional people that will carry forward my purpose. And really, I mean, even as you hear us say, for example, with a theologian like Jonathan Edwards, be the key to realizing a millennial kingdom of peace and harmony in this world that finally will transform the world into what God intended it to be all along, kind of a new Eden, if you will. So not only a new Israel, a new Eden also. And in order to carry that out, it just seems so obvious, at least by the middle part of the 19th century, that we needed to go from sea to shining sea, and that God had set apart this new Israel, this new land, as a place for us to carry out that lively experiment.
Well, when we come back from this break, more with Dr. Larry Rast of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the forthcoming PBS special, God in America.
Are you looking for a church where you can receive the gifts of God in the gospel and the sacraments and in the church's historic worship with lively music? Then come to Hope Lutheran Church in South St. Louis. We're located on the corner of Brannan and Neosho Streets at 5218 Neosho. You can also reach us on the World Wide Web at www.hopelutheranstl.org and give us a call at 314-352-0014. There is hope in St. Louis.
Do Lutherans just follow the teachings of Martin Luther? How is Lutheranism similar and different from historic churches like Roman Catholicism and Eastern Orthodoxy? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October is Lutheranism 101. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Lutheranism 101 by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Is it possible to be evangelical and Catholic? Lutheranism 101.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
Does your circuit hold circuit convocations? One of the weak links in our current polity is the absence of this type of gathering for the laity and a lack of laity participation. The CLCC believes part of the problem is time, a lack of time to prepare good materials. The CLCC has begun a new program to repackage select seminar lessons into 1 to 2 hour presentations, great for circuit convocations. For more information, contact Carrie Anderson at the CLCC.org. theclcc.org.
God in America examines 400 years of the country's enduring quest for religious liberty and its impact on society, politics, and the spiritual experience of Americans.
That noble idea passed on from generation to generation, the God-given promise that all are equal, all are free, and all deserve a chance to pursue their full measure of happiness.
This is this great conversation we've had from the very beginning of American life. We've had this notion that this is a special place, and what makes it special is that we have some kind of special relationship with God.
Just a little bit of the trailer for the PBS special, the forthcoming PBS special, God in America. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Dr. Larry Rast is our guest. We're talking about this special, and we're just on the subject of manifest destiny and the idea that is so deeply ingrained in our society that America holds most favored nation status with God. Larry, is this idea that we Americans believe implicitly, is this biblical?
For the United States, no, not to put too fine a point on it, but the assumption of that idea of being Israel on the part of a variety of American religious expressions has again had a very profound rhetorical resonance that oftentimes leads people to express themselves in a way that in which there's almost a seamless weaving together of ancient Israel and modern America as the people of God. But I don't think you can sustain that, certainly on the basis of the scriptural witness. That takes a philosophical jump that goes beyond what the Bible allows.
You mentioned earlier Glenn Beck, probably now the most famous Mormon in pop American culture. And an advocate of this American exceptionalism, as you said before, is this attitude of American exceptionalism limited to Christians in America? It strikes me Mormonism is truly the made-in-America religion.
That's one of them, and I totally agree with you, Todd, that that's one of the really interesting points that God in America begins to allow to emerge. And again, doesn't have a lot to do with God, has more to do with the question of American religious freedom and then how that freedom expresses itself, even to the point of creating entirely new religions. You know, some folks would say, well, you can see the Christian connections, if you will. I'm a little bit allergic to seeing the Christian roots of Mormonism because it is such a different theological system, a fundamentally different theological system. But some connections with the older Protestant perspectives and the Puritan perspectives. After all, Joseph Smith is coming right out of that area of the Northeast, Vermont, upstate New York, those sorts of places where the Puritan perspective on American exceptionalism was so strong. Yet, using the religious freedoms that America offered to create, in some ways out of whole cloth, this entirely new theological system, and then having the entrepreneurial expertise to lay it before people, as strange as it is, and then have them buy into that voluntarily once more. I think you're absolutely right. In many, many ways, Mormonism is the perfect American religion in that regard. It just doesn't happen to be Christian.
I'm also wondering about the whether or not the PBS special dealt at all with what you and I would probably call American civil religion, which is no religion in particular, but often mistaken for some kind of pseudo-Christianity, the religion of In God We Trust, the religion of all men are created equal, the religion of creation, man and this God that's out there not really doing anything except pulling our chestnuts out of the fire if we really make a big mistake.
Not in the materials that they provided to me. Now, to me, it seems like a natural, and it very well could be the case that some of the later episodes or additional materials that they had would touch on that. And again, that would be an absolute natural, where you have this notion of God that just seems to be common to Americans, regardless of their theological commitments. As the old story goes, it's kind of like the supposed Eisenhower statement. There is some question about whether he said it or not. He said, but something to the effect that every American needs a God, and I don't care what it is. But just an idea that in order to be a good American, you have to have some kind of commitment to God as such, and that God is smiling upon the United States in a particular way, setting it apart for this kind of manifest destiny, this unique vocation here in the world, which will ultimately lead to a kind of realization of a millennial kingdom, whatever you might call that. And here, I think a very, very interesting and useful book is by the author Tuveson, T-U-V-E-S-O-N, called Redeemer Nation, and where he pulls together this kind of millennialistic expectation of the realization of the perfect golden age that will be brought about not through necessarily confessional articulation and theological proclamation, but rather through the political, social, and religious structures of the United States working together. Really quite fascinating.
The pressing question in the culture today is, especially with the emergence of new atheism, is can someone be an American and not believe in God? Almost as though America itself is a religious experience in itself. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, that's well put. For many, many years over the course of American history, you know, we've of course had the presence of the village atheist, and American religious freedom certainly includes the option of not pursuing religion at all, and people have made have taken advantage of that particular freedom and expressed it in a variety of ways. But that being said, there's also this kind of suspicion of the atheist as the person who cannot, because of their lack of commitment to God, they're a particularly untrustworthy person due to the fact that they are fundamentally morally suspicious, shall we say. That is, without a commitment to God, there's no commitment to morals, and without that commitment to morals, then one really is free to do whatever one wants at the expense of the well-being of the called community, this vocational community that has as its grander value, its larger task to transform the world. This radical individualist who's only at work for himself, who may or may not be trustworthy, well, you just can't depend on that person to be a part of the larger vocation of the United States. So atheism is inherently suspect within the context of American civil religion.
What is missing from the PBS special God in America?
Lutherans. That's one thing. And one of the points that I make from or in my little article in the Lutheran Witness is the point that in some ways American Lutheranism fits the paradigm that they're describing here, and in other ways challenges it and creates kind of a problem in a way that really would have, I think, of course, and I'm biased, I admit it, but I think would have enhanced the program significantly. American Lutheranism responded in similar ways to most denominations. That is, almost every historic tradition that made its way to the United States, European primarily, was confronted by this new religious freedom and really had to come to grips with these new circumstances. And the manner in which most traditions responded was, I typically say there are four responses that you can have. You can completely embrace the new situation. You can completely resist it. You can embrace it with, kind of hedging your bets, or you can reject it, but at the same time continue to be a part of the society as well. So in other words, yes, no, yes, but, no, but are typical responses. And American Lutherans give evidence of all four of those kind of responses, and I think would have provided a great opportunity to show how a large, significant portion of Western European Christianity really struggled with the unique American character. That, again, is driven at least in part by my own commitments and certainly by my own discipline. My specialty is the history of Lutheranism in the United States. And so I realize that sounds a little bit like sour grapes. You left us Lutherans out. At the same time, though, I think the story truly would have been enhanced by the presence of a Lutheran part of the narrative.
Folks, we're talking to Dr. Larry Rast of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, about next week's PBS special called God in America. So he says the Lutherans are missing. When we come back, we'll ask Dr. Rast, is the biblical gospel present in God in America? That's a significant question. Is the biblical gospel present in the PBS special God in America? Coming up in October, we have something we're calling here on Issues Etc., Reformation Week. During Reformation Week, we're going to have the best guests and some of the best topics. That's October 18th through the 22nd. We'll have the Doctrine of Justification with Dr. Carl Fikencher, Means of Grace with Pastor Paul McCain, and more. So during Reformation Week, we're going to be having some great guests. We want you to help us promote Reformation Week here at Issues Etc. Go to the support page of our website right now, issuesetc.org. You will find a bulletin insert, a PDF that you can download and print off and put in your church's bulletin in advance of Reformation Week here on Issues Etc. That's October 18th through the 22nd. Please help us promote it. Issuesetc.org. Click support. Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org, and click Find a Church.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and go to the Listen On Demand page. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. On Demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org, and click Listen On Demand.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
A major setback for Obama.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
On August 23rd, Royce Lamberth, Chief Judge of the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia, issued an injunction against President Barack Obama's executive order authorizing the federal funding of embryonic stem cell research, taking embryos created by in vitro fertilization and removing their stem cells. In doing so, the embryo, an unborn human being, is destroyed. Judge Lamberth ruled the executive order violates the Dickey Wicker Amendment, which was passed by Congress in 1996. That law prohibits the federal funding of any research in which human embryos are destroyed.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
A few more minutes with Dr. Larry Rast on the forthcoming PBS special God in America. Then we'll play Issues Etc., soundbite of the week, live this Friday afternoon, October the 8th, with you. Dr. Larry Rast is Professor of Historical Theology and Academic Dean at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and he's author of the cover story in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled What Makes America American. Dr. Rast, before you said that one of the things missing from the PBS special was Lutherans' significant omission, you also say that the biblical gospel is missing. What do you mean?
Well, again, this kind of touches or brings us back around to the point I was making a little bit earlier, that this is more about the people and the manner in which they use their religious freedom to create communities of faith, rather than about theology proper, not so much about God as such and the complete competing claims about God, who God is, how God saves, how human beings are in relationship to that God who saves. Those kinds of topics are on the back burner in God in America, so there is never, at least again in the materials that I was able to view, never a clear proclamation or even a clear challenge to the biblical gospel. And frankly, I mean, given the choice of subjects that made up the materials that I reviewed, New England Puritans, Roman Catholic missionaries, and a number of others, many of those groups were coming here to the United States, coming to the American setting, in order to confess Christ and to be engaged in God's mission as they understood it in a very, very specific way. And so in a way, it's not fair to the subjects that they're, what was driving them in terms of their endeavors is never really taken up in as serious a way as it should have been.
Would you recommend we watch God in America?
Absolutely. Even having said that, that previous speech, nonetheless, I think it's a useful, quick introduction to the problem that American religion really has to face, that question of American religious freedom. One of the great things about the series itself is that it takes up that truly unique American experience of having to come to grips with what it means to be free to express your religious preference, which may include none at all, but to do that within a competitive environment, and then how you compel people, and how you entice people to confess along with you and to join with you, and that I think is very, very useful. It also gives a good sense of where we've been, and perhaps, although I've not seen the last part of the series, some of the places where we may be going. And in that respect, I think it's worth the time.
Dr. Larry Rast is professor of historical theology and academic dean at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's author of the cover story in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled What Makes America American. You'll find a link to this article at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Larry, thank you again.
Thanks, Todd. Always great to be with you.